Lower your expectations. Season 3, it's a hockey podcast from Lance, Coach, and Randall. Hello and welcome to the Youth Hockey Podcast, Season 3, Episode 21. 21 is dividable by several numbers. Can you name one of them, Lance?
Three.
And?
Seven.
There we go. I mean, 21 is like it's also a very popular
Blackjack
card game. Yeah, I was going to say a card game in what city, Coach?
California. Any kind of
every city now.
I was going with Las
Indian
Vegas.
Delicious.
That's true.
Native American owned casino.
Native American owned, and giving a shout out to Native American ancestry, Lance.
Yes, Sioux Indian.
There you go. Lance Alexander is a man of tribal heritage, and we love him for more than that, but we might as well love him for that too. If we could today, and I know this topic sounds like it's not going to be that interesting, so if anybody wants to turn off right now, I understand. This is very insider
way to
pool.
Start.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think we should start every episode with, if you'd like to turn off, we understand. It's like going to the restroom on a long trip.
Does that include Coach and I? Can we turn off too?
If you'd like, but I was really hoping for your help here, but no. Team hotel stories. We often have had experience with team hotels. If you don't know, in youth hockey, you generally have to travel in order to get competition at some point in your kid's career. And you often go to Blaine, Minnesota. You often go to Boston, Massachusetts. You sometimes, if you're Lance, you probably go to Toronto, Vancouver, Sweden, Stockholm, Kiev, Vladivostok. You know, it depends on how good your kid is. But if you have Moscow, if you have a kid in the sport, you're going to travel. And I wanted to start with some of the problems with team hotels and some of the stories from team hotels. And I'd like to start out with a kid that got sent home because he was in a team hotel and he left after curfew, and the coach actually sent him home. It is from the state or the city that we were talking about earlier, Las Vegas.
Right.
Yes.
I remember that too.
I know.
It was
the talk of the club. And I felt awful for the kid. I felt really awful for the parents because the parents didn't come for the first game. Friday, the kid was there, and I don't know exactly how he got there, but he was there. So I figured somebody brought him. And these kids are like 14, 15, so he couldn't have walked. And so he was on the ice. He played the Friday night game. Parents show up Saturday morning and they are told, take your son home. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell happened? Now this is something where they know that this coach like takes the remote controls. You can't watch TV in the thing. And there are rules around being a team in a team
very
hotel.
Strict
yeah.
coach.
Well, yes. But I got to tell you, now, how many coaches do you never see on the road until the game starts? I kind of respect the fact that this coach is kind of like the guy that's like, okay, I got your kids now. Just check them in with me.
Yeah.
No, that's very cool. No. So anyway, but I remember that as a team hotel downer. And I wanted to see if anyone else had something similar in a team hotel situation from the
Wasn't there like
podcast.
Fire alarms involved in it or something?
I am not going to get into the details. I believe there was a stripper named Candy. I believe there were elevators. I believe there were cameras. I believe there was, there wasn't a stripper called Candy, by the way.
Lap dances.
Yeah, I don't believe there was any glitter involved, but I recall some of the details, but I don't know them well enough, so I'm not going to go into them. But there may or may not have been.
No.
I don't think there was a fire.
The kid was just out of his room up on another floor.
Yes, that's what I've
looking around, apparently, and was caught red-handed by the coach. And this coach, you just don't mess around when he has some rules. And
no, you don't mess with the rules. No.
The ban hammer came right down, and he was sent home.
Okay.
Well, I have two good ones, Randy.
Thank you. So that's what I was hoping, Lance. Thank you for helping me out with this.
Well, one maybe isn't suitable for this audience, but the second.
Oh, then let's definitely go with number one. Screw well, number two. I'll do that
one second.
Okay. Because just so you know, there would be people screaming at their radios right now, going, "Lance Alexander, let me in. Open the curtain."
I've been listening to this dumb podcast for God knows how many episodes, waiting for something good.
I've been listening to this. And now this guy's going 30 minutes straight, and finally, Lance has a good story, and they're cutting him off. Please go ahead.
Unsubscribe immediately.
Well, I was the first story I'll tell you was Phoenix, Arizona. We were there for a tournament. I can't remember. It may have even been the Thanksgiving tournament we spent in Phoenix, Arizona. But one of the evenings, my wife and I go out for dinner. You know, the players usually had to stick together and do everything together. Anyway, we go out to dinner. We get back around, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night. And these kids were, gosh, they had to be like, squirt age. So they had to be about 10, 11 years old, 9, 10 years old. And anyway, we come back and there's kids running up and down the hallway, screaming and yelling. And I remember we're like, okay, where's the supervision here? Where are the people in charge? And we were walking down door by door and the kids are bumping into us, going crazy. Not our kids, not my kids, thankfully. And then we get to finally.
Are you kidding us, Lance? We know your kids were in there. They were mixing it up.
My kids are angels. They'd be asleep. But
they do not. Lance will bend over backwards to think that his kids are angels. I'm telling you, I love your kids. There's no way that they were not involved. Go ahead.
They were angels. Anyway, so as we proceed down this long, long hallway, we finally get to an open door. And we peek in, and there's like half the parents on the team apparently maybe had one too many drinks sloshing around, and they had no idea where the kids were, and really, I could tell, didn't even care.
I have to ask, parenting. Were you playing for a Burbank located team at the time?
Quite possibly.
Sorry about that. Sorry, took a little swipe there. Shouldn't have taken the swipe. I love you guys. I love all of you guys. I love all the hockey parents out there. Sorry.
Well, Randy, now you're going to have to tell your story, because that same weekend, as my team was enjoying a feasty Thanksgiving.
Oh, yes. That was a great one.
You
got to
tell what your team was enjoying.
Okay, so like we're like the second tier team in that organization that year. And like, okay, so they've booked two rooms, right? Like banquet halls, and we walk into like you're O3s, right, Lance? Your kids O3s.
Our team was the O3s.
We walk into the O3s. They have turkey. This is like Thanksgiving turkey, cranberry, like the whole spread. They
pumpkin
have
pie,
got everything that you might want.
Stuffing.
We walk over to the O2's banquet room. They have an organized shit. They have nothing there. there are parents with their own six packs. And they bought their hand on the six packs. By the way, you can't walk up and like take one. They want you to know by their palm resting on top of the six pack of beer that it's theirs and they are not sharing. So we walk over and we're like, "Hi guys, how you doing?" And Lance is like, "Hey, how you doing? Everything great over here." You're like, "I thought there's supposed to be food or something." "Yeah, there's food on our side." And then we're like, "What do you have to do?"
A team that the coach actually continues to come to our practices.
Oh,
we
don't
have a
bring
full
that up.
Smorgasbord of a meal over here.
You bastard.
You don't have that? You gotta appreciate this, because the O3 families are all eating and laughing and enjoying. And every time we look up, there's like a gaggle of O2 parents watching us from the doorway, like salivating.
Do we have some gruel?
Oh, that's funny.
I know. That's a mean story. Okay, now go with your first story, the inappropriate one, please.
Okay, so the other story. Now, thankfully, as I remember, this did not involve. There were several teams at this particular hotel, and I will never forget. We were in Chicago, Illinois, and again, I don't know why, but I happened to be up. A little bit later, Kathy and I were up. I think we had to go get some. We left something in the car, and we get up to go out into the parking lot, and there seems to be a lot of police activity in the parking lot and at the hotel. And a lot of guests had kind of spilled out and everyone's watching. And so finally, you know, we went over to one of the hotel managers and said, okay, we got to find out what in the world is going on. Did someone, there were no ambulances. I mean, was, you know, was, did parents get into a fight? Was there a team rivalry thing? And the hotel manager said that one of the dads decided to call out for in-room company, I will say. And I guess he called the wrong number because a gaggle of police officers came accompanying his company.
In-room companionship?
Exactly. And that, I think that was the first and only I've ever seen that happen in all the years of hotel, watching a dad get arrested and taken away.
Wow. Was it one you knew?
That is,
just so I know, is this one you knew? Did you know the person in cuffs?
No. We did, okay. Like I said, it was a dad from one of the other teams.
Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that the detail. I just wanted to make sure that this wasn't like somebody that we all knew.
Oh, because, man, that would have been horrible.
Oh my God. Well, it would have been horrible, but it would have been like podcast gold. Sorry about that. You also learn things, by the way, in a team hotel that you would never think you'd never think you'd learn this. For example, our squirt year with my middle son, the goalie and a bunch of the parents were walking down the hallway, and one of them said to the goalie, he's like, you know, go over there because we're gonna throw this like reaction ball to you. Go over there by the exit sign. And the goalie looks up and he says, where's the exit sign? And they're all like, well, it's down the hallway. It's about 8 or 10 doors down. Do you see it? No. And they're like, Now, we had not been getting great goaltending up until this point. And someone in the group decided, let's check this out. And he said, tell me when you see that exit sign. Okay, somebody tell me when you see that exit sign. They're walking forward. And now it's getting embarrassing. And now they're like 10 feet away from the sign. And the kid goes, yeah, I got it. It turns out this kid hid the fact that he couldn't see anything, basically. He had, his eyes were like, I mean.
Blind as a bat. As
yes. The kid had never, he hadn't seen any shot that had been shot at him all right. year. He'd been listening.
Ultrasonic that's hearing. Right.
And trying to geolocate off of, yes. That is the
triangulating
way.
Yes. Using a sonic.
So we are all walking. And then we find out that the mom had done the same thing when she was young. She played tennis and she didn't want to tell anybody that her eyes were bad. And so she tried to play tennis by hearing the ball hit the ground. And so it's a family trait. And we were all like, oh my goodness. You know, because we, you know, I think people are fairly nice to goalies at squirt level, no matter what. It's not. It's squirts. I mean, I'm sure sometimes it's not, but, you know, I'm sure if it's squirt quadruple A or whatever, Kings, you know, like state championship squirts, people get really upset. But like local squirt teams, you're not going to get upset at your goalie. He's trying his best 99% of the time. But this felt really weird because we're all sitting there and we'd noticed that the goaltender who's, you know, he turned out to be he got glasses and he never played goalie again. He went out and played out, I believe, for the rest of his career. He was a pretty good player.
He's like, what was wrong with me? I mean, yes. This playing goalie is out of hand. Like people are shooting this puck at me.
Yeah.
He
had no idea it was coming. He had no idea where it was coming from. It came out of the darkness at him and right. or out of the fuzz. I don't know. So that is something we found out at a team hotel. So every once in a while you get those little stories, little gems of things that you're like, oh my goodness. Oh, wow. You know, how did that come about? But that's how it came about. And just so you know, the kid himself, Sterling kid, you know, in case that kid's out there listening, I am not making fun of you. I'm telling you that this is
the. Don't worry, he's not listening.
Yes. What am I thinking? Although, if he's in South Korea, he has a pretty good chance of listening because we're top 10. We're again top 10 right. in South Korea. Right. Please, anyone, Coach, do you have a story about Team Hotel?
I don't feel like I have a story as good as you guys, but I was going to say, made me think of. You know, everybody, I'm sure everybody loves the state of play. That's got to be
great option. Right?
There's nothing better than you know, getting your special state of play deal.
Right.
And then you find out like other people you could have just booked it for cheaper. Like $30 less. Yeah.
Yes. If you didn't use the link.
That always feels good. But
feels great.
We had one of these state of plays that was also in Phoenix. And we got to the hotel. I don't know if you guys have been to this same hotel. You know, a nice brand hotel. Nothing wrong with the hotel. But you get there. And as soon as we, you know, we've been driving through the desert. So you got the windows up and you get air conditioning on. We get out and first thing, and my wife was on this trip. And so she didn't come to a lot of these trips. And we had driven out there. So we get out of the car and the smell just hits us instantly. And this particular hotel is like, I guess, downwind of a giant cattle
farm. Rendering plant. Yeah. Good. And good.
It
good.
Just stunk the entire time we were there. And I was like, we're paying for this? Like we got forced to pay a premium to stay at this hotel. Out of all the hotels we could have stayed at, we got the one that's downwind from the cattle farm.
So you'll have to forgive me. Please forgive this. Would you say that was a shitty deal?
Yes, I would. It was. it stunk to high heaven that particular trip.
Did you feel like you really got crapped on with that trip?
I felt like I got crapped on by the whole crappy deal.
Yeah, that's
it was horrible.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
I have another good one for you, Randy.
We have one more, and then we will wrap it up, because I hear a little birdie tells me that Lance Alexander has got to get to work early in the morning tomorrow. And
hey,
I do
I'm
not
a hard working man.
Of course you are, Lance. By the way, Lance Alexander is one of the best at what he does. You won't know him unless you are in his field. But if you ever come across his name at the top of a schedule or a spreadsheet, just know that this man does.
There's
magic.
A budget.
There is a budget somewhere that he balanced.
Tight.
Yes. Oh, exactly. So tight. Like down to the dime, Raleigh. Right. Down to the dime.
Hey.
There
down
is no discrepancies.
The
yeah.
There's
yeah,
no discrepancies.
Exactly. No. Totally down tied to in.
The
all numbers
that,
tied.
That thing bounces.
Oh. All right. Please, Lance, funny. Go ahead.
So, because I'm sure we've all experienced this, the team dinner on the road.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, that's awful.
Yes. I mean, I remember
the 6-hour ordeal that is the team dinner. Yeah. It's like, we'd like to leave by midnight. Please.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, I remember this particular one. They all wanted to go to a place that's more popular out here, I would imagine, than other places. But if my memory served me right, the team decided to go to a place called Umami Burger. Have you ever heard of that, Randy?
I remember this trip.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I was there.
Were you at this trip? Because I remember one of the dads,
was this Pasadena?
It might have been part
it
of
it. It was Pasadena. Yeah, no, I remember this. Yes.
If it's the same story, like one dad refused.
$15 hamburger. Yeah, we left.
Exactly.
It was like a $15 hamburger. And this, by the way, is before like the recent inflation, guys. This was back when a Whopper meal was $5.55. And we were
well, yeah. $15 is as a hamburger just about anywhere now, even McDonald's.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Umami's a it's a gourmet burger place out here.
It's 25 right. bucks for a full meal at very least, because you didn't get, I believe, any Chateau Boisson with it unless you ordered it on the side.
Right,
exactly. And I just remember this one dad was like, absolutely not, and he just flat out refused, and he broke
was
away
me?
From the group.
What, that was me then, Lance.
Was it you?
I
because I yes. just remember the day, coach. Imagine this.
Because it's me. You're talking, just so you know, you are talking to these people in a derogatory and derisional tone about me.
Right.
Well, imagine how this snooty, snotty guy, coach, we all sitting there, right? And at the end
right.
of the meal,
it's a team meal.
This dad shows up.
Oh, no, no. I didn't.
Goes
that,
over
that's
to
not me.
Me.
That wasn't me then. Because okay. it wasn't at the end. We walked in with all of you guys. And then we made up some flunky excuse like, look, Heather's got a real bad stomach ache. Let's go home. She's got to take some antacids.
No, they're like, why are the givers
10
next
minutes.
Door at the Chipotle?
Exactly. No, at the Habit. Just so you know, there was a Habit 2 blocks down. That's where we were.
Right. Well, the habit's not cheap either. But anyway,
yeah. This particular dad, not Randy Giver, came
yeah,
back
that wasn't
in.
Me.
and said, so, hey, and he had a McDonald's bag in his hand. He's like, hey, we just had a couple of like Big Mac meals, you know, like $6 each. How much did you pay, Lance? And I think my bill was, because everyone got burger, fries, and a Coke. And it was probably in the neighborhood of a $25 a person.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is
now, but I wasn't, just to clarify, I wasn't the guy that did that last part. Okay, so yes, I was the guy that was part of this, but we left under a false story, and we did not come back.
I would argue that you were actually educating people as to what should never happen, which is go on a team meal, because it never works out. It's always a nightmare, and I mean, how many times have you've been at a quote unquote team meal someplace where 2 hours later, somebody still hasn't gotten their entree.
Oh, yeah. Now and, in Chicago, right. We did this one. What was the famous place in Chicago that has the sandwiches and the sausage sandwich? Lance, you should know this.
I know.
It starts with a P, like Portillo.
Yeah, okay. Right. Portillos. Okay. Portillo. So our Portillos. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you pronounce it or not. Please, people from Chicago, make sure I know by next youth hockey podcast
at gmail.com.
There we go. Portillos. Youth hockey podcast at gmail.com. Go ahead and make fun of me. Everyone went up and ordered because, you know, there's no waitress or waiter. If you have a system where each family goes up and orders and then goes to a table, that actually works out pretty well. I was really impressed with that because, you know, there's no server that's trying to keep track of numbers and all the stuff and, you know, all the dishes and stuff like that. You just go up, you order, you get a number, you come back, you pick up your food. I think that is that should be the standard for, it should be the Chipotle style of team dinners. If you go to a restaurant that's non-Chipotle, you're going to be there for 2 hours at least.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, somebody's not even going to get their meal.
Right. Exactly. And it's going to be, and also somebody is going to like order something for their kid that's like friggin' outrageous. And like all the right. parents have to pretend like it's not, you know, so like there'll be one dude there, one dad that's like, you know, I only want skin free, braised, chicken breast with, and I want you to pound it with a mallet for exactly 10 seconds. And then I want steamed cabbage, but not steamed cabbage of origin from the US, please. I need to have Central American steamed cabbage on the side. And you're like, oh Jesus, this right. guy must absolutely control everything in his life. And if he doesn't, he must freak out. And then the waiter goes, oh yes, we can get you the non-American, the South American steamed cabbage. And then they just go to the back and they chop up a cabbage.
Yeah, I've got a story along these lines. So one time, I was on a trip and I'm trying to remember, but for whatever reason, I was not at a meal where the majority of the team, if not all the team, went to it.
I can tell you, you weren't invited, Coach. I don't mean to bring this up. Well, you weren't invited.
It's possible, but I don't remember the circumstances. But in general, it was a bunch of parents and their sons, and in some cases, some other siblings, and my son by himself. And this was very early on in the season. And
now I feel very bad that I made fun of you, Coach. I'm sorry for that. Please continue.
No, that's all right. So, they went to like a ribs place. And, so then sometime later I get this like urgent text from the parents and they're like, please reimburse us immediately via Venmo for the portion of your son's meal that we, paid for, which was like $65 or something. And I'm going, are you serious? Like my kid went, I know what he had. He had like a pulled pork sandwich and a soda. It costs like $14. They basically went and divided it up evenly, even though they were there with a bunch of other people and were having like drinks and everything and wanted me to pay the $65 for, you know, basically $40 more than I should have been reimbursing them. And it was not a great way to start the season. Let me just tell you, I was just livid about this.
Oh, man, that's awful.
But I, you know, I got to say, I was like, talked to my wife about it. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? I mean, I just feel like I should let these people.
Tracy wouldn't pay that. There's no way Tracy's paying that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
There's no way Tracy is paying that.
They don't even know how lucky they were that they talked to the actual reasonable person. Because she
there is no way she is paying that. You should have let her deal with it.
Yeah, she would have been like, are you, you know.
And she would have said it in that great accent, too. Yeah. You should have let her out. Let loose the dogs of war. Next time, Coach Raleigh, you don't know Tracy. Lovely, lovely woman, but not a woman I would like to be on the other side of negotiations with, especially hostage negotiations. Yes,
yeah, that would not have gone well for them.
Yeah.
You know, these are the type of things that happen. And it's, you know, you're exposing the sometimes you're learning things about the other families on your team that maybe you didn't want to learn, and things could happen. So my advice, just stay away from the team meals. It's
well, you know, Dave, works well. Guys,
I do have to thank you because you took a very simple topic and I didn't know where it was going to go, but you guys all dressed this up really well. Cause I wasn't certain that the topic was going to fly. But you guys all had stories from your own experiences. And by the way, I think they're relatable. I think that's the kind of thing that you need to know that you might be walking into. Everyone thinks they're walking into, what would you call it? Like when everything around you is good and happy.
Harmony.
And you're walking into an ambush, people. You're walking into an ambush. Be ready.
When
you go away. Yeah.
I just wanted to tell Coach, here's the one thing I learned by the season of playing with the Giffords was that, you know, you talked about the stay to play situation. I was amazed at how many relatives the Giffords had in every single city.
I hate you. Stop giving away my recipes. You are such a bastard. Okay. People of the Youth Hockey Podcast, you have to erase that last bit from your memory. I do have several relatives that live wherever there's a much cheaper hotel.
Have that down of the. We actually are going to.
You know, wherever. I have a coach that's going to listen to this, and he's going to be like, "Yeah, Giffords. Last time they were at their friend's house in Boston. Now they're at their friend's house in Chicago. Jesus, right. They have a lot of friends, and they know me. I don't have that many friends." So you are basically putting it together for everyone.
You were the masters of, we're going to go the week before, because we're turning this into a family vacation. So we cannot stay with the team. Yeah. We're actually going to be like someplace. We're going to be at a different hotel, which is a family hotel, because this is turned into a family vacation. We're going to be there for a week before. Yeah. And I got you out of that. I didn't have that excuse. I wasn't able to pull that. And I had to look on with envy.
I remember also, do you remember when we'd go to Las Vegas and like I'd be there with Dare and Gabe would want to play hockey so bad he'd get onto a team. I'd be at a tournament for my middle son, and all of a sudden Gabe would come running up to me, get my bag. I'd be like, what the hell, Gabe? He talked his way onto a team from Ottawa, you know. And I'm like, Gabe, how did you talk your way onto a team from? They only have 12 kids, and they could really use me on the team.
I saw. They didn't have enough players.
Yes, we got 6 games. Get. I got the coach to like text him to you, and I'm like, oh, gee. So like, he is right. Like a lot of vacation, a lot of things turned into, oh, Gabe talked his way onto another team while his sister was playing in a tournament, and I'm like, I don't know how he does it, but he loves that sport so much.
Love the entrepreneurial spirit.
Oh my God, he loves hockey. That kid is, anyway. Gentlemen, ladies, people who have been listening to the Youth Hockey Podcast, we thank you so much for taking your time, and we hope that we've filled it up with something that is useful for you. We certainly do have a lot of fun reaching out through the microphone to you and giving you our stories and hopefully giving you a little bit of solace about all of the things that you're going through, because as the season winds down, man, everyone starts being a little bit chippy. Everyone starts thinking about the next season and, you know, what happened this season that they don't want to happen again. And hopefully if you get a little bit of it from us, you don't have to be surprised or shocked at the $60 bill that you get Venmoed to you from your son that ate a sandwich with their friends. Anyway. So any final comments on this, gentlemen?
Fun topic.
Thanks, Lance. You know, the second half of the season starting, I just hope everyone has a great second half, and whatever you got left, be it a month or 2 months, you know, you know, I also want to be optimistic. In our family, there's been many a season where maybe the first half didn't go so great, and the second half was the redemption story. So
great point.
I hope that for everybody else.
Great point. So do not give up yet on the people around you. You might still pull, you know, like you still, there's a little magic out there. Every once in a while, I remember a high school league that, you know, end of the year, had a bad year. Oh man, we went to the finals in high school and couldn't wipe the smile off my face. So anyway, there's still some good stuff out there. Keep looking for it. And I really hope you find it. And thank you all for listening.
Remember to visit Gabe Gifford Hockey. The link is in the description and the webpage below.